have been reconciled to the Father. Now you can cry out to him, Abba. Abba is a Hebrew term for daddy. Amen. You are now in the family of God. And Christianity is not about going to heaven. That's certainly part of it. But it's having a relationship with God right now. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise his mighty name. Now, anybody need an offering envelope? Anybody need one? Thank you, Carolyn. Hallelujah. God is good all the time. Praise his mighty name. And I'm going to tell you all something else. Any guilt, any shame you might have felt for what you've done, that's gone. That's all in the past. You don't have to feel guilty. You don't have to feel condemned. Okay? It's because you are now positionally, you are in Messiah Jesus, and the Bible says there is no guilt or condemnation in those who love him. Amen. Hallelujah. You got a new slate. Glory. I guess we're going to have a baptism here pretty soon. Amen. Hallelujah. It might be warm enough to go back down to the river. Huh? It's probably high right now. Yeah, we'd say we'll have to have that piping in, that song, on down to the river. Hallelujah. Everybody get an offering envelope, needs one. Everybody good. You need one, Tommy? You got it. Terry's got Lee Greenwood's song, I'm Proud to Be an American, right? Okay, so we'll sing that for our offertory song, and I might preach, I might not, okay? I'm feeling pretty good right now. Anybody else? Hallelujah. You know, one of the things I don't like to hear a guy deliver a message and then another preacher get up behind him and deliver another one. Like he's trying to trump him. I hate that. If that man of God had the word, then let him be done, okay? All right? And, you know, I think God showed up here this morning. He don't need me to try to trump him, amen? Hallelujah. But we will have communion, glory to God. So, I want to pray and you can give. Carolyn, you pass out the offering envelopes. You might as well finish this task. Hallelujah. Father, we love you and praise you. We thank you for seed we can sow into your kingdom. We thank you, Father, we place that seed in the hand of a mighty, awesome God. You'll multiply it, use it to expand your kingdom and cause a harvest back to the sower. For that, we give you glory, honor, and praise. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen.
If tomorrow all the things were gone I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife, I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA, well, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say, an American.
least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the man who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. I won't forget the man who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
Hallelujah. Praises. You can be seated in God's presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Do you have your Bibles? Just give me 5 minutes. You got your Bibles this morning? Hallelujah. That 5 minutes, you know, it's five here, five, 10, 15. No, not really. We're about to take communion. Amen. Turn with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, page 1431, if you've got a Bible like mine. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me get over here. That hurt. Praise his mighty name. Hallelujah. Looking in my box. Luke, chapter 22. Well, I don't know what verse. 14. When the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, "With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." Jesus said, "Man, I have had a great desire, fervent desire, to share this Passover with you." Now, what was Passover? Well, if you remember the story in Exodus, when the children of Israel were 400 years in slavery to the Egyptians, remember the promise that God made to Abraham? He told Abraham, "Your descendants will be slaves to a foreign nation that doesn't know me." But the Bible tells us in Exodus that God remembered the children of Israel who were in slavery, in bondage in Egypt. Now, you all know that remember in Hebrew, it's not like, you know, like, "Oh, I forgot something, but then I remembered it," you know. Remember in Hebrew means to act or speak on behalf of someone else. So what does God do? He finds Moses on the backside of the desert tending his father-in-law's sheep and goats. And he sends Moses with a staff and with his brother Aaron. And they go down to speak to Pharaoh to let my people go. And so the last night before they left Egypt, God gave them instructions to take a lamb, to roast the lamb, or take the lamb and to kill it on the threshold of the door, the entrance to their home, and then paint that blood on the doorpost of the house. And when the death angel passes over, he'll see that blood, and nothing will happen to any member of that family. Okay? And that's exactly what happened. But that Hebrew Bible, that story of Passover, becomes a reality to you and I. How many of you know, really, we can't really relate too much to eating that lamb and putting that blood on the doorpost? But we can relate to the reality of the Lord Jesus, who is our Passover lamb. Amen. Some of you that just got born again, that blood now has been painted on the doorpost of your heart. Amen. The entry to your soul, your spirit. So now death can no longer control you. Amen. Oh, this physical body might die, but the spirit of man now goes to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, while this body waits for the trumpet to sound and the dead in Christ to rise again. Amen. Glory to God. So Jesus said, I've had a fervent desire to celebrate this Passover with you. And then he goes on to say in verse 16, let me read verse 15 again. Then he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Now, what does Jesus mean by I won't drink of the fruit of the vine again until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God? Everybody in here pretty much knows this story. I've beat it and beat it and beat it to death every Sunday when I take communion. But in a Jewish betrothal ceremony where a young man was going to be engaged to a young woman, you know, for weeks, months leading up to that, the father was spreading rumors that his boy had his eyes set on a certain young lady. And so those rumors in that village were going around, and then one day there's a knock on that door. And at that moment, that young lady can tell her father, don't open that door. Have you seen this guy? I mean, really, Dad? And if she doesn't open the door, it's over. There's no engagement. But if the door gets opened, then the young man and his father go in, they negotiate a contract, a marriage contract. He says everything he's going to do for that bride. And then they'll have a cup of wine. They'll bring families together. They'll have a dinner. They'll drink another cup of wine and then a third cup of wine. And it's believed that it's this third cup that Jesus, or they're, the disciples have taken the third cup, and now they're on the fourth cup. And it's this fourth cup that Jesus says, I won't drink of this again until I come in the fullness of my kingdom. See, the fourth cup at that engagement ceremony was only drank by the bride-to-be. And she drank it as a vow that she would remain faithful until her wedding night. Amen. And it was on the wedding night that the bridegroom would drink of that fourth cup, sealing his vows and that contract that he had made with her father, what he would do for her. Amen. So we're about to take communion. Now Jesus takes this Passover lamb. He takes this fourth cup at Passover. Remember, this passage is all in context of Passover. All right. He says in verse 16 or 17, then he took the cup, gave thanks, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. Jesus said, I'm not going to drink it again until I come in the kingdom of God. See, did you know that Jesus is your bridegroom? And the church is his bride. Jew or Gentile, we are his bride. And we take communion and we celebrate Passover at this church. But I long for the day that I get to have Passover with Jesus. Amen? Is that cool or what? I mean, I heard an old preacher say one time, I don't care if those pearly gates are hanging on, or I don't care if they're wood and hanging on leather hinges and I got to walk through mud three feet deep. I want to see Jesus. Amen. And I said, wow, I never thought of that before. You know, Jesus has come into my heart. I've known about Jesus since I was born. I was raised in the church. I know everybody don't have that advantage. But I had that advantage, and I praise God for that advantage. But I really didn't know Jesus until much, much later. Amen? And I have that relationship with him now. And it wasn't until I realized that he loved me, that he wasn't a God who was just waiting for me to mess up to beat me down, that he was there when I did mess up to help pick me up, help brush me off, help clean up those wounds and get me back on that right road. Amen? So when we take communion, we're celebrating Jesus as the Passover lamb. Amen? But we're also drinking of that fourth cup as a vow that we will remain faithful until you come. And you know, there's a lot of discussion, a lot of teaching on end times. But there is a few things, you know, there's a few things we know for sure. And some other stuff is just speculation and how we interpret the scripture. But things we do know is we are an eternal being. Amen. There is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Amen. And he is coming back. Amen. We know those things. Amen. And we need to be ready. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, Deb, you and Jackie want to help me? If you don't, help me anyway. Take that bread, would you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. While they're passing out the elements of communion, we have open communion at this church. That means we don't check your card at the door. Nothing makes me any madder. Nothing makes me any madder than going to a church and them telling me I can't take communion with them because I'm not of their whatever. Aggravates me. Although the last time I was in a Catholic church, I could have gotten away with it. But I didn't. It wasn't I didn't want to take communion. I just didn't want to drink after those 100-some people. I know they wiped it off with a cloth and everything. But I said, I'll pass. Hallelujah. Praise his mighty name. Hallelujah. And sit there. Wait a minute. Bible says that when they looked upon Jesus after they had beaten him with a cat of nine tails. A cat of nine tails is described by historians as something that has a handle on it and has nine leather straps, and at the end of those straps there's pieces of metal and glass sewed into those straps. So when they beat Jesus with it and they pulled it away, it would literally rip the skin, tear the skin. And the Bible says in Isaiah that they didn't esteem him. They thought he had done something really, really bad, that God was punishing him like this. But then the prophet Isaiah says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Your transgression is breaking the commands of God. Iniquity is to be bent and twisted, going away from God. How many of you know iniquity is the root of rebellion? Nobody rebellious in this nation today. What's the answer for any nation's problems? God. Return to God. Return to that foundation of truth, His Word. Amen. But it says He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed and made whole. And Jesus broke that unleavened bread at Passover with the disciples. He says, listen, He's going to personalize it now. They've been taking it since they were children, since they were born. But now, and it just represented a lamb that had been slain 1,500 years before they were born. But now He's going to personalize that lamb. He's going to say, this bread is my body. Amen. And He's going to say that this cup is my blood. Amen. Remember, that blood of that first Passover was painted over the doorposts. But now that blood, when we're born again, that blood is painted over the door of our heart. Amen. Death can't hold us. Grave can't hold us. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank You this morning that we hold in our hands. It's unleavened bread, but it represents Your body that was broken for us. And You instructed us, whenever we take this, to do it in remembrance of You, in remembrance that You are the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, in remembrance that You are the immerser or baptizer in the Holy Spirit, in remembrance that You are right now our high priest interceding for us, and that You are our soon coming King. With thanksgiving in our hearts, in remembrance of You, we eat of Your body this morning. Hallelujah. Around here, we hold our cup up and we say, L'chaim. L'chaim means to life, okay? The Bible says that life is in the blood. And we know that Jesus poured out His life at Calvary so we could be partakers of that life. Amen? So, hold your cup up on three. One, two, three. L'chaim. Lord Jesus, we thank You. We thank You at Calvary You poured out Your life that we could be partakers of that life. And You said You come to give us life and give it to us more abundantly, meaning that we can have as much of God as we want to put into that relationship. And Lord Jesus, with thanksgiving in our hearts this morning, in remembrance of You, as our vow, as Your bridegroom, this represents our vow that we will remain faithful until You come. Take and drink. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Anybody who's got a notebook and willing to get Tommy and Charity and Bria's address and phone number, and Gene's. I don't think I have yours either, Gene. You going to do that, Jackie? All right. Thank you. Jackie, you take his side. Anybody else got a notebook on this side? How, you got one, Deb? You can borrow mine, Deb. Well, you got one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me pray and I'll dismiss you all. Have a great 4th of July. Listen, we are going to have our midweek service Tuesday night. Same time, 7 o'clock. Okay? 7 o'clock. All right? On the 4th, you might see some activity around here because we rented the church to the White family to have their family reunion here. Amen. Everybody good with that? You know, and if you're hungry, you can come eat with us if you want. We'll definitely feed you. Hallelujah. Father, we love you and praise you. We thank you for your goodness, your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for what you've done in our midst today, the miracle of the new birth. And Father, I pray for Bria and Charity and Gene and Tommy, Lord God, that you will be so real to them in the coming weeks, that you yourself will help disciple them. Father, bring them into a close relationship with you. And Father, be with each one of us today, Lord, and this week. Bless us spiritually, physically, financially, and emotionally. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Be blessed.